Okay, today's daf is Mem Zayim. We're going to start about 15 lines from the bottom of Ibayalahu Kfura. The last while we've been doing the Shabbat daf on Friday. This week there's the dapim are way too long. We're not going to be able to do it, so everyone's on their own for the Shabbat daf. The other thing I wanted to say is that today is 5 years from when we started, which is very exciting. Dafyomi for Women's been going for 5 years, and thought it was a nice way to mention it. And kol hakavod to all those who started in the beginning and those who've joined in the interim. Also pleased to report that we have, based on my statistics programs, about 150 people, if not a little bit more, listening online, which is really nice. I wanted to encourage those listening online to, there's now an online donation option, and I'd like to encourage people to support Daf Yomi for Women initiative. The contributions are not tax deductible, but they are going to support the efforts of Daf Yomi for Women, and in order to keep it going, we really need your support, so please consider it. Okay, starting from Ibayalahu. Ibayalahu kfura mishum bizyonahu o mishum kaparahu. When we talk about burial, is the burial in order to the bizyona, right? Is it so that the mate is not mevuzeh, that he won't be disrespectful for the mate, or is it in order to have kapara, that there's atonement for him? L'may nafkamina, what's the relevance, whether you say it's one or the other? Damar lo be'ina delikbere lahu gavra. What if he says, I don't want to be buried? The mate doesn't want to be buried. So imishum damart bizyonahu lo kol kamine. V'i amart mishum kaparahu, amar lo be'ina kapara. If it's mishum, that it's not respectful for the mate and therefore also the family, so then he can't say, I don't want to be buried, because it'll be disgraceful for others also. But if you say it's because of kapara, and he says, I'm not interested in kapara, well then, you don't have to bury him. So my. So what's the halacha? I mentioned yesterday, at the very end, I said there's going to be two questions. This one has no answer. The next one, we actually are going to eventually come to an answer. So what's the halacha? Tashma, let's try to learn it from here. Mide'ikbor tzadike. From the fact that we buried tzadikim, what can you learn? Obviously, tzadikim don't need kapara because they're tzadikim. So if the fact that we buried tzadikim, where we get kapara from there, therefore, we can assume that if the tzaddik gets buried, then obviously it's not mishum kapara, it's mishum bizyone. V'yamar mishum kapara tzaddike lekapara tzriche. What's the obvious answer to this? What, you think tzaddikim don't need kapara? What, they do nothing wrong ever? Of course they need kapara. Dechtiv, adam ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. Right? There's even a pasuk to prove it. There's no one who's a perfect tzaddik who doesn't do any sins. Okay, second attempt. V'tashma, v'sabdu lo kol yisrael v'kavuroto. So this is, we're going back to the same psukim we saw yesterday. This is Achiah, the son of Yeravam, who gets buried. So everybody gave him a hesped, and they buried him. What was the idea? He was buried, but nobody else was buried. Now, all the others in Yeravam's family were not buried. Why were they not buried? Because they were Rishaim. Now, Rishaim ni kapara. So if the burial is in order to atone, well, the Rishaim should have also gotten buried. So kihavi tishavad the kapara, so that they would get kapara. So what do they say now? They make a distinction. They say, haidit tzadiku tahavad le kapara. Hanach lo lahavad le kapara. You have to be deserving of kapara. So Achiyah was a tzadik, and obviously did something wrong in his life, so he needed the kapara. But the other sons of Yeravam, who were Rishaim, they don't even deserve kapara. And that's why they didn't get buried. Tashma. Lo yispidu v'lo yikavru. So now we have this pasuk in Yirmiyahu that the people are not going to be, they're not going to do a hespeh for them, and they're not going to bury them. So again, what do they answer? To lo tahavelu kapara. In other words, again, you would see that, oh, they're rishaim, and they should get buried. And then the answer is no, again, it's that they're not deserving of kapara. Okay, if you didn't take a sheet, take a sheet. We're going to follow in along here. Okay, that was the end of the first question. So we tried to figure out, is it because of Biziona or is it Mishum Kapara? And in the end, right, what's the purpose of burial? Is the purpose of burial too, so that it's not an embarrassment for the family and for the dead body itself? Or is it in order to affect Kapara? We tried to bring a number of sources, but in the end, could improve either which way. The next question, okay, you can see we have 9 attempts to answer the question. Finally, with the 9th, we're going to answer the question, okay? So you can follow along also on the chart. We're going to have a question. We're going to each time bring a source, and each time it's going to be rejected and say, you can't necessarily learn from this source. If you notice also, we're going to start with, okay, for those who are newer listeners, I haven't explained this in a while, so I might as well explain it. On the sheets that I use, I play with the fonts. So the regular font is the words of the Gemara. The font that's a handwritten font is the psukim, when there's a verse in the, because the Gemara is made up of different levels, they quote psukim, and they're constantly referring back to things that were written in the time period before, which was the time the Mishnah was written, whether it's a Mishnah or a Braita or a Tosefta or a Mishnah Halacha, a Midrash Halacha. So all those are in the other font. Every once in a while you'll see a different font. So you can even see by the questions, they start off with the first 5 are psukim from the Torah, and then when they can't prove it from there, they bring another 4 Braitot, okay, or Mishnayot, okay, so from the Tannaitic times, and in the end, they're also not going to be able to prove it. Ibayelu. Hespeda, what's the purpose of a hesped? Is it yikara dechaye have? It's a very interesting question. When we're maspid, is it to give kavod to the living, which are the relatives, the family of the deceased? Oh, yikara deshachve have. Oh, is it to give kavod to the dead person himself or herself? Lamar nafkamina, what's the relevance? Very interesting nafkamina. Da'amar, lotus bedu alahu gavra. If he says about himself, please don't do any hespedim for me when I die. Okay? Inami, that's one nafkamina. So if it's for him, well then listen and don't do any hespedim. If it's for the family, well then it's irrelevant what the person asked. We should do it anyway. Which is interesting, you know, does the family have to listen to what the deceased's requests were? Inami lafuke miyorshin. Or maybe it's even the better question, which is, are you allowed to make a request that doesn't just affect you, but affects other people? You as the deceased, let's say before your death, you say, listen, I really don't want anyone to be maspid me. Is that a fair request to make? Because you're not considering that it's not all about you, it's about your family. The second option is lafuke miyorshin. In those days, they used to sometimes hire people to eulogize. So the question is, do the yorshim have to pay? Okay, so if it's for the deceased, then they have to pay. If they decide they don't want to pay and they don't want to be maspid and it's for their own kavod, well, then they're allowed to. Okay, because they're basically saying, we're mochal on our kavod, we don't care, we just won't do hespedim. So now we're going to start with a lot of sources. Tashma. Vayavo Avraham, the first case of burial, right? It's the first that we really see a burial, I believe so. Vayavo Avraham, lispod l'sarah u'l'kotah. So he comes to do a hesped for Sarah and to cry for her. Now remember, he wasn't there at the time, right? So he had to go to her, which means they waited. They didn't bury her right away. And if it's because of the living, it was all because of Abraham's respect that they waited for Sarah. But Sarah Gufa, they're asking as a question. If it's for the kavod of the living, they're going to make Sarah wait for the living, like that's bizayon for her. So Sarah, gufa, so therefore they assume it must be, right, and as they're asking it like this, just if the issue is kavod of Avraham, is it fair for kavod of Avraham to leave her body? Right. In other words, if the hesped is for the kavod of Avraham, it's not fair of him to demand that they wait for him to get there and leave her body for such a long time. Okay, so now the answer, no, because if Sarah were alive, what would she have said? Sarah gufani chalei ki hechet miyakar la va'Avraham. Sarah would have wanted Avraham to get that respect, and therefore she was willing to be mevater on the bizayon of her body waiting around in order for Avraham to get the kavod of the hesped. Tashma, v'safdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavruoto. Again, we're going back to the same psukim. So Achia, the son of Yeravam, who gets buried. V'i amar mishum yakara dechayehu, and remember, the point of this pasuk is no one else had hespedim said about them, all the other sons of Yeravam. If it's mishum yikara dechayehu, hanach b'nei yikara ninhu. Right? So what's the situation? The right? The krovim of, if the whole idea was, I'm sorry, here is achiyah, if the whole idea was to provide respect to his relatives, so it's what relatives did he have that were deserving of respect? All his relatives were rishaim, so we shouldn't have given them any respect. So what are the answer? It's the same concept of Sarah. He was a tzaddik, and he wanted to give kavod even to the rishaim. Okay? In other words, the point is, if all his relatives were evil, and the point is to do a hesped just for them, so then why would he have done the why would they have done a hesped for him to respect the relatives? The relatives were all evil guys. But now they want to say, no, 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 because he was a tzaddik and therefore wanted to show respect for his relatives, and therefore he got the hesped. Tashma, next one. Lo yisbedu v'lo yikavru. These people will not get hespedim, and they will not be buried. Now, lo nicha. So now, what's the issue? Again, what would you say? They might be bad, but what about their relatives? If it's respect for their relatives. By the way, all of these proofs, I should say, they're all trying to prove it's bizayon. It's for the purpose of the mate himself, the hesped. Because if it were for the purpose of the relatives, then they should have a hesped because their relatives aren't necessarily rishayim. And they should get the respect. So what are the answer? Lo nicha l'tzadikaya demityakre b'rishayi. This is the opposite of the others, or the inverse. Tzadikim, it's not respectful for them to have a hesped said about one of their rishayim relatives. Okay? Tashma. B'shalom tamut b'misrefot avotecha. Hamelachim arishonim asher yu lefanecha ken yisrefu lach. This is about Tzidkiyahu. Okay, you're going to die in peace, and you'll be burned the same way that the previous kings were. Vahave aron yisbedu v'hoi aron? Right, v'hoi adon, that's why I read it wrong. V'hoi adon yisbedu lach. They will say about you, oi adon. They'll give a hesped for you, Tzidkiyahu. V'i amar v'shum yikare dechayehu, my naftalei mina. What would it matter to Tzidkiyahu if he's telling Tzidkiyahu that when you die, they're going to make a whole big deal and a hesped about you. Now, if the hesped's for him, so it makes sense, they're telling him. They're going to make a whole big deal. But if the hesped's just for the relatives, what does Tzidkiyahu care what kind of respect his relatives are going to get? It's kind of a strange, the whole thing is a strange concept, right? Because we're going to see soon that actually there's one of the interpretations of this whole thing is that it's obviously bizayona made. It's just it's also not bizayona made. It's for the respect of the mate, but it's also for the respect of the relatives. And when they ask, is it for? It's not necessarily either or. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, he understands this as even for the relatives. But this question, Dafka, wouldn't work if you read it this way. So now, what do they say? Right? What does he care? So hachi kamarle. This is what they said to him. Liyakru bach Yisrael ki hechi demityakre ba'avatech. They're telling his Tzidkiyahu, remember, he was the king. So family to the king is like the whole nation is his family. When he dies, it's respect for the nation. So they were trying to tell him that when you die, it will be a respect for the entire Jewish people. Okay? In other words, it's a way of talking about the Jewish people to Tzidkiyahu, not himself personally or his relatives, but really it was saying it's going to be a whole big way of respect. It's going to be a respectful ma'amad for the Jewish people. Tashma. Nivzeh be'enav nim'as, okay, which is a pasuk, in Tehillim, which we're going to translate as you despise someone in your eyes and it's despicable to you, something along those lines. So what is this a reference to? Zech Hizkiyahu Melech Yehuda shegerer atzmot aviv al mitah shel chavalim. He dragged his father's bones on a bed of ropes, okay, in a very disgraceful way. His father was Achaz the king, he was a bad king. V'i mishum yekar dechayehu my taima. Right, so if it's for the relatives, so here it was a total bizayon to the relatives. In other words, in his death, he disgraced his father, and that's not, right, that's not respectful to, Chizkiyahu or to anyone in his family. So therefore, it must be, it's for the mate himself. In this case, he wasn't deserving of the respect because he was a rasha. So now what are the answer? Umishum, my taima ki hechid, so my taima. So what's the reason then? If you say it's ikara d'chayim my taima, so the answer is no. Ki hechi d'tahave le'kapara la'vuha. It was a way of providing. He disgraced his father not for the sake of disgracing his father because he wasn't deserving of respect. We saw this before that by disgracing his father, it causes him to get kapara. Okay, it gives him kapara. We're going to talk about this in 1 minute. Now the Gemara asks, "Mishum kapara d'avuha." Mashu le liyakardi Yisrael. But Ahaz was a king, which means it's now disgracing. If you take a king out in a disgraceful manner, a former king, it disgraces all of the Jewish people. So because of, in order to atone for the father, he's allowed to disgrace the entire Jewish people. So what are the answers? Yisrael gufai hu nichale demiyachli yikarayu legabe. No, it is actually respectful for the people because they also want him to get kapara because he was their king. So therefore, it ends up being kapara for him. Now, this is where the Rabbeinu Yonah comes in, because he says, if Bizayon HaMet is kapara for him, well, then it doesn't make sense if we're going to say that it's... That would only prove that it's for the mate himself, because the mate himself, by... If the whole idea of all the things we do around the Kfura are for the mate himself, well, then we can say the Bizayon is kapara. But if we say it's for the relatives, then the Bizayon is for the relatives, and then how can it atone for the person himself? So Rabbeinu Yonah says here that it must mean when they say the relatives, it's also for the mate and also for the relatives. That's one interpretation. The Nitziv actually has a much better answer, I think, which is that by disgracing a person's body, if we say that the whole thing really doesn't have to do with the mate himself, then what's the kapara that we're talking about? The kapara is the kapara causes the people. That it all affects the krovim. It's not about the mate himself. So the question, this is all, by the way, it all has to do with what's after death, right? And we're going to get to this in a few minutes also. We'll talk about another case. But after death, the person's not there anymore. So what kind of kavod are we trying to give them? So therefore, they're trying to say it must be for the relatives. So then the question is, so what's the kapara that we're trying to get? So you know, normally we say, well, there's some sort of kapara for the neshama. But this interpretation says, no. The bizayon we do to the mate at his death will cause others to see and will cause them to repent. And it'll be kapara not for the mate himself, but for others around him. I thought was a very interesting interpretation here, which would then answer the question of Bizayon HaMet is kapara. How could it be kapara for him if he's not in the picture anymore? We're not discussing him. He's not the subject here. So they answer, and others again. Rabbeinu Yonah says he is the subject. And if we say the subject is the relatives, we mean the relatives and the dead person. Obviously, we mean the dead person is just also the relatives. But if we say the Nitziv, he's saying the dead person is not the player here. It's about the family and those around. So here, it will cause Yisrael to see, look what this terrible, he was a bad king, and look what happened to him. It'll cause them to repent. So that's the outlook of the Nitziv. Okay, next one. Tashma. Amar lahen. Okay, now we've finished with Psukim. Now we're moving on to Mekorot Tanaim. Amar lahen. Rabbi Yudana, see, when he died, he said to the people, "Al tisbeduni ba'ayarot. Don't make hespedim in the small cities. I want everyone to gather together in a big... If everyone in the small cities, well, no one will come to the big cities. I want people to come to the big cities and do a hesped for me all together, so they'll be more respectful." So, what does he care if it's yikara for the living, right? Obviously, he was talking about respect for himself, which seems strange, right? Where's the humility in this? But now we're going to answer. No, kastavar... Lityakru be Yisrael tve. It'll be more respectful for the people if they all come together and do a big hespeh for him together. So he wasn't thinking about himself, he was thinking about the others. Tashma, our Mishnah. Halino lichvodo, if you leave over the body for the respect of the person, for example, lavilo aron v'tachrichim, eino over alav. Remember, you can't push off the burial for the next day. But if he needs, right, an aron or tachrichim, then eino over alav. Obviously, what's the intent here? My lav l'chvodo shel meit. Aren't we talking about that you push it off for the kavod of the dead person himself or herself? And the answer, lo l'chvodo shel chai. Now, you could say it's disrespectful for the relatives if he's not buried, if the person isn't buried properly. So now they say, question, wait a minute. U'mishum chvodo shel chai mavid le l'meit? You're allowed for the respect of the relatives to push off the burial of the dead person? So they say, yeah, in, but you really are, in fact. Because why? Ki am rachmana lo talini vlato ala aretz, dumia de taloi. Remember, it said lo talini vlato after you hang it, right? You hang it, and then, so it's like when you hang it. De'it be bizayon. In other words, lo talin is a bizayon, just like hanging is a bizayon. So therefore, it's a disgrace to hang someone. Likewise, it's a disgrace to leave over the body overnight. Aval hacha kevan delek be bizayon lo. But in this case, since there won't be bizayon by leaving it to the next day, because it'll actually cause more respect, therefore we're going to allow it. So again, we don't have any conclusive proof here whether it's lichvodo shel meit or lichvodo shel chai. Tashma, next source. Another brayta that's like this one. Helino lichvodo. For example, now they're going to say, what else besides lavilo arovatachrichim? What are other ways helino lichvodo to leave over the body for its own respect? L'shema alav arayot, ayarot, to let it be known in the cities, in the little villages. L'havilo mekonenot, to bring the women who used to cry for the people, also maybe l'haspid, to give hespedim. L'havilo aron v'tachrichim, eno aver alav. Okay, you're not over on a lo taseh by leaving it for all these reasons. Shekol ha'oseh eno ela l'chvodo shalmet. Here we have it, finally, explicitly. It says, because all these reasons are for the respect of the dead. So what do you see here? It's for the respect of the dead, and therefore, there's our proof. It's all for the respect of the dead and not the relatives. So then they say, no, you could read this otherwise. Hachi kamar. Kol ha'oseh l'chvodo shachai, ein bo bizayon lamet. They don't really mean l'chvodo shalmet, they mean l'chvodo, because of the mate, the kavod for the relatives. Okay, we're getting closer, but we still haven't gotten a proof. We were almost there, but we didn't have it yet. Okay, now we finally get to the last source. Tashma, Rabbi Natan Omer, Siman Yafe Lemet Shenifraim Mimenu La'achar Mita. It's a Siman Yafe for a mate that gets, how do they translate this? That kind of gets his punishments after death, retribution after death. For example, Mate Shalonispad, Vilonikbar, okay, someone who doesn't have a hesped or isn't buried. Oshachayagorarto, or an animal drags it. All this, okay, is a siman yafer for the mate. What's a siman for? That the person will get kapara. Oshayug shamin mizalpim al mitato. Okay, if rain spilled all over the coffin, zeu siman yafer la mate. So what do you see here? Finally, what do we see? The kapara and all this that we've been talking about. Shmamina yekara deshchivehu shmamina. This proves that it's for the respect of the dead person themselves. Okay, continuing on in the Mishnah. Lo hayu kovrim. Remember, where they didn't bury the person in Kivrot Avotav, after they got stoned and hung, they take the body and they bury it in a place, either with the Neharag, right, if he was Niskal, there was the Niskalim and the Nisrafim together, and the Nechnakim and the Neharagim together. There were two cemeteries. So they didn't bury him there. But kol kach lama. Okay, you can't bury an evil person next to a tzaddik, and that's why they had their own cemeteries. Here's an interesting proof. If you remember, this, there's all these weird Elisha stories, miraculous stories. So they started burying somebody. They see the enemy coming. They throw him into the grave, like they just kind of throw him down into a grave. Bekever Elisha. They throw him right next to Elisha's grave. And then his body rolls next to Elisha, touches Elisha. And he comes back to life, and he stands on his feet. Okay, the first interpretation of this story is, first of all, some people say, if you remember the story with the Nevi Sheker in the beginning of Melachim and Perek Yudalad, there's a story of this Nevi Sheker who convinces this other Nevi Sheker to eat his house and this and that. Convinces this other Nevi Emet, right? He kind of messes up the Nevi Emet did all these things, and then he said, oh, but God told me you don't have to, you can stay and you can eat, even blah, blah, blah. That was the first Navi who went against Yeravam and said, you know, Yeravam, everything's going to be destroyed. So anyway, they say that this is that guy, that Navi Sheker, from there. That's one of the Masorot about who he is. Anyway, what happens? The assumption is he was a Rasha. And why did he come back to life? Because you can't bury a Rasha, it's a Tzaddik. And they threw his body down, he hid into Elisha, but he was a Rasha. Not only that, he was a Navi Sheker, the actual opposite of Elisha. So because of that, he got up, Ayakam Araglav.
Okay. Strange punishment.
Strange punishment, exactly.
The whole thing is strange because,
I'm
trying not to let my
modern thinking come in, yes.
Because if there's kapara from death, I mean, they're including the whole procedure.
So we're going to talk about, hold off with your question. When is kapara from death come? We're going to talk about this. This comes up in the sugya later today. So hold off on your question. If I misunderstood your question, we'll come back to it later, but I'm pretty sure that what you're talking about is exactly what the Gemara is going to discuss. Okay, so Amar le Rav Papa, v'duma li kiyume. Maybe it was actually, this guy got up, not because he was a Rasha, he couldn't be buried next to a Tzaddik, but the point was that Elisha revived him. Why? What would be the relevance of this? Because when Eliyahu went up to Shamayim, he said, what can I do for you? What do you want to ask of me? And ask anything you want. And Elisha said, I want to do vihina pishnayim beruch chaylai. I want double your ruach. Now what happened? Eliyahu revived one person, and Elisha revived one person in his life. But Elisha wanted pishnayim. So here we're going to see that he was able to revive two people. Okay? So Amarle, ihachi, but wait. If that's what happened, and really the guy got up and lived after this, Hainu Ditanya al raglav amad ulibeito lo halach. But it says there, notice the pasuk, vayichi vayakam al raglav. It doesn't say vayichi vayelach libeito, right? It always comes up in the Navi, vayelach libeito, right? Then they went home, or they went. So it does, just says amad al raglav. The assumption is that he must have stood up for a minute, moved over, and then died. Okay, that's what they're assuming, which means that Elisha didn't really revive him. He just kind of moved him out of the way, which would support the reading that we were trying to say, that that's how you know the Rasha can't be buried at Tzel Tzadik. So then, if that's the case, and you say, according to that, that he really didn't live, well then, we're back to the second thing we said, which was, Ela vihina pishnayim hechi mishkachala. Where did he get the pishnayim of Eliyahu's koch? De'achya, hechi mishkachala de'achya. Where do we see that he revived someone else? We've seen this many times, that a tzarat is like a mate. Okay, they learn that with the, about tzarat, and therefore, they're saying that he revived Naaman, so to speak, from death. Okay, it wasn't the same kind of hachya'a, but it's like it. Ukeshem she'en kovrim rasha etzot tzadik, not only can you not bury Rasha'im Eitzel Tzadikim, but you also can't bury a serious Rasha next to a less serious Rasha. And that's why they have two cemeteries, one for the more severe Mita Beitin and one for the less severe. Now they say, V'litkun arba kvaro, why didn't they make four, one for each Mita Beitin? Shnei kvaro gamar gemirala. There's a Masoret that we have two cemeteries. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to start off here, and it's going to look like it has no connection to our sugya. We'll eventually get back to our sugya. Okay, so hold off. Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Achal Chelev, if you ate Chelev by mistake, and what are you supposed to do? Bring a Korban Chatat. So, Hifrish Korban, Chelev is the forbidden fats on the animal. Hifrish Korban, he brought, set aside a Korban to bring it, but in the meantime, Hemir Dato, he decided not to be religious anymore. Okay, or not to be Jewish anymore, right? He left the religion. V'chazarbo, and then he changes his mind, and he's chozer v'tshuva, comes back to being Jewish. Can he bring that korban now for his chelev? Okay, is he allowed to bring it? So what does he say? Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, ho'il v'nitcha yidachem. Once you pushed it off, and right, it was no longer relevant for bringing anymore, you can't bring it again as a korban. You can't bring the animal and say, oh, well, now this animal, I'll bring it as a sacrifice. No. The animal is no longer able to be sacrificed. Itmar Nami, it's also said like this. Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Achal chelev, v'yifrish korban, same situation, but instead of leaving the religion, nishtatita, he goes crazy, insane. Okay, he's not clear-headed, which means he can't bring a korban. V'chazar v'nishtafa, but then he becomes lucid again. Ho'il v'nidcha idache. Okay, since it was pushed off, it's pushed off. So it's the same kind of thing. So now the question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan need to say this in both situations? Utsricha. D'yesh minan kamaita, what's the difference between the two? If you just had the first, what would you have said? Mishum di'iu dachanaf shei b'yadayim. He pushed it off. He said, I'm not going to be Jewish anymore. Aval hai demimela kadache, but in the case where it just happened and he went insane, it wasn't his own doing, ema ki yashen dami, maybe it's like someone who went to sleep. If you take aside an animal and then you fall asleep and then you wake up, of course you can still bring that animal. V'yashmin and hachan, if you just had the second case, what might you have thought? Mishum de'em b'yado lachzor. It's not in your control to come back. If you go insane, you can't exactly cause yourself to get better. Which is maybe a good question. Maybe you can, but okay, right? Nowadays there's therapies, there's all sorts of methods, but again, you're not exactly totally in control. Aval hatam to be a dolach zor, but if you left the religion and you want to come back, it's in your control. So emalo, maybe you would say then, it's not going to be, you know, since you already pushed it off. To be a dolach zor, maybe you would say that it's not pushed off really, because you can control it. Tzricha, and therefore you need both. Okay. Now we're going to start with Alon Mahalach. So Rabbi Yosef is going to bring strengthen Rabbi Yochanan's opinion from a brayta. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Af ana nami tanina. Hayuba kodashim. Okay, now you're missing the important words, which is in an irani dachat. There's an irani dachat. We're supposed to burn everything in the city. But what don't you burn? If there's kodshim. Okay, there's meat that was sacrificed and, you're right, wasn't eaten or anything like that. Money that was dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash. So if there were kodashim in the city, kodshim is beach yamutu. Let's say you have animals you separated or money that was designated. All this stuff yamutu. In other words, you can't burn it. You can't, right? You just have to let it die. We've seen these cases where nothing can be done with these animals. They're hektesh. They can't be sacrificed, but you have to let them die. Kodshei bedekabaye I padu. If you have things that were dedicated to pay for things in the mikdash, so you can redeem them. Vahavinam ba amayamutu. Kevan de iktil havyale lehu kapara. This is exactly Naomi's question. Why should they die? Since the people now in the Irani Dachat got killed, what did we say? In death, there's kapara. In which case, right? Bilisku legavoa. If they did kapara, then what should we be allowed to do? Now take these korbanot and sacrifice them. Okay? So therefore, what's the reason we can't sacrifice them? It must be for the reason that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, La mishum da'amrinan ho'il v'nidachu yidachu. Wouldn't this be the perfect proof? If you take these people in the Irani Dachat that had these sacrifices set aside, they now die, they get kapara, so in theory, the sacrifices should revert back to being good sacrifices. What's the only reason they can't revert back to being good sacrifices? Because of this concept that once it was nidche, it's nidche. So that's your proof. So Amar le Abaye, wait a minute. Okay, and this is exactly the issue Naomi was bringing up, which is does death affect kapara immediately or not? Or does it affect it at all? And can we assume, make assumptions based on that? But yes? So Amar Abaye, misavar mate mitoch risho habile kapara. Mate mitoch risho lo habile kapara. If someone dies while they're a rasha and they get killed, there's no kapara in that. Okay, so this Irani Dacha people, they didn't necessarily get kapara. How do we know this? Titane Rav Shmaya, now we're finally getting back to our issue. Yachola filu pershu avotav midarchei tzibur yitama. Okay, now we're talking about a Kohen. If a Kohen is allowed to be mitame to his close relatives. So you might have thought, what if his parents left the derech? Is he allowed to go be mitame? Talmud lomar be'amav. Only those who are in his nation. What does that mean? Bo'osema se'amav. Only if they're doing the mitzvot. But if they're not mechayim mitzvot, then he can't be mitameh to them. So what do you see? If he can't be mitameh to them, then what do you see? In death, you're not mitkaper. Otherwise, they die, they'd assume, they get kapara, and then you could be mitameh to them. So comes Abaye and says, clearly in death, there is an immediate kapara. So Amar le Rava, you're comparing apples and oranges, Rava says. Mika midami neherag mitoch risho, lemeit mitoch risho. You're comparing someone who is killed, right? That was our case of the Irani Dachat, to someone who died being a Rasha. Mate mitoch risho, if you just die regular, kevan dechi orche kamayit, he just died stam, that was the father of the Kohen, lo havya lu kapara. Therefore, he didn't get kapara. But neherag mitoch risho, if you were killed as a punishment for the Irani Dachat, kevan delav ki orchamayit, since he's not dying in a typical way, havya le kapara. And therefore, Rava says, you can't prove it from the Kohen case, because that was just the father died stam or the mother died stam. And that's why there was no kapara. But in the case where you get punished, there is kapara. And that was referenced in our Mishnah, where they would be mitvadeh before they got killed, and there would be a sense of kapara. Teda, dichtiv, how do we know this? Mizmor la'asaf, now he brings a pasuk, which again, they're going to reject, because they're going to say, wait, you're also not comparing the right things. Mizmor la'asaf, Elohim ba'u goyim enachalatecha, goyim are coming into your nachala, tim'u et hechal kodshecha, they were mitame your hechal, the Beit HaMikdash, natnu et livlat avadecha, ma'achal la'of ha'shamayim, basar chasidecha l'chayoto aretz. Your dead bodies of your slaves, which means, right, the Jewish people, are going to be ma'achal, the food of the birds, and the basar of your chasidim are going to be for the chayot, for the animals. My avadecha v'my chasidecha. What's the drush on this pasuk? Why does it say avadecha and chasidecha? It's all talking about the Jewish people. Lav chasidecha, chasidecha mamash. Avadecha hainach demachai v'edina, demeikara. V'kevan de'ikta, demachai v'edina, demeikara. Aren't those people who are bad people, Okay? And therefore, bekevan de'iktil, since they were killed by the enemy, what happened to them? Karelei avadecha. Now they're back to be calling, to be called avadim of Hashem. So what do you see? That in death, there's kapara when you're killed. Right? We talked about dying regular doesn't give kapara. Getting killed by the cords gives you kapara. And here, Rava says, look, here's your proof. Getting killed by the enemy gives you kapara, because that's, what was he say? He said, that's not ki orche, it's not the derech, right? You don't die in a normal way, you die by the enemy. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, what are you comparing? Mi kamidame, harugei machu la harugei beitin. Harugei machu, right? We always talk about yudah al kiddush Hashem, right? When the enemy kills you, of course there's kapara. That's dying al kiddush Hashem. But when the beitin kills you, that doesn't necessarily affect kapara. So you have a basic machlok at Rav and Abaye, harugei beidin, does that affect kapara immediately or not? So harugei machut kevan deshalo bedin kamiktale, they weren't killed lefi, you know, because of a din, havilhu kapara. But harugei beidin kevan de bedin kamiktale, they were just killed because they were supposed to be killed, lo havilhu kapara. That's Abaye's shita. Teda, here comes Abaye's proof. Okay. Ditnan lo hayu kovrinotan oto bikivrot avotav. What do we see from our Mishnah? It's a perfect proof. If the harugei beitim would get immediate kapara, then they would be able to bury them in their father's graves. And what happened? They didn't bury them in their father's graves. You can already see where this is going, because what happens eventually? Remember, they do get buried in the father's grave. So what we're going to see here is they don't get immediate kapara, but eventually they're going to say, it's a process. And eventually they get kapara. Okay, so that's an answer to your question from before. So ditna lo yukavrinu tabu kivrei avotav v'isak adata kevan di'iktal havilu kapara litberu, right? So they should be buried. So what are the answer? You need mita ukvura b'inan. You need death and burial. Remember, we talked about before, we ended yesterday, but the burial provides kapara, and we started with it today. But now we're going to have a question on this. Motiv ravad brava lo yumitablim ela oninim. Shehin aninud ela balev. What do you see here? When was the avilu process? After the burial. So if mita and kvura gives atonement, then after the burial, what should happen? They should be mitaber the relatives, because there's already kapara. V'yisakadata kevan de'ikvor havilu kapara li'ablu, they should give aveluts. They should have aveluts. So what do they answer? Binanami ikul basar. You need the flesh to disintegrate. It's not enough to have just fura. So this is the first answer. We're going to have two answers. You need the flesh to disintegrate, which obviously takes some time. And how do we know this? Here's the proof from our Mishnah. Daikanami dekatane says in our Mishnah, nitakel habasar, only once the flesh had disintegrated, milaktina ta'atlamo v'kovrino tabim komam shma amina. So here's your proof. So that's the first answer, which is that you do get kapara, but it only comes later on. Rav Ashi amar, avelut be matai kamat chalat, when does the avelut start? This is why, again, why they're not mitabel. Mistimat hagolel. And remember, they were buried in caves. So what would they do? They put this big rock to cover the opening of the cave. Right? Sideways, right? There was an opening on the side, like a doorway. They would put, once they close up the kever, that's when the avelut starts. But when is kapara? Okay, now from what we said a minute ago, the first answer was once all the flesh is disintegrated. Michichazu tzara dekivra porta. It's when you start to see a bit of the tsar of the kever, okay, which they're going to explain as some of the flesh. It's the beginning of this disintegration of the flesh. Okay, it's not. It's an earlier stage. It's when the flesh starts to disintegrate. Hilka ho'il v'idchu yidachu. So now, how does this? Where do we get from here? Because what do we say? Therefore, okay. Let's see if I can remember all this. Ho'il v'idachu yidachu. We're going to say it must be that they didn't get, right, eventually, if it's the beginning of the flesh, because now we have to go back full circle to where we started, that's why I got confused when I was preparing this, also I got confused with this. The ho'il v'idachu idachu means once. Let's assume the flesh starts to disintegrate soon after they close up the the rock. Now, you might say, so once the flesh starts to disintegrate, whether it's a week or a month or something like that, so then maybe the avelut should take place. So what does this second answer say? It says, even though the flesh starts to disintegrate and then there is kapara, since yidachu, since the avelut was pushed off already from the beginning because there wasn't kapara in the beginning, yidachu, it's finished. We don't ever do avelut. Okay, it's the same lashon that we're using, but it's not directly connected to what we were saying before, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, since the avelut was pushed off, it's pushed off forever and there's never avelut. Okay, so either there's never avelut because it's a very late stage, once the kapara happens, or there's never avelut because once it was pushed off, it's pushed off for indefinitely. Okay, so now, ihachi lamali ikul basar. If that's the case, then why do you wait for ikul basar to bury the bones, right? To move the bones to the kivrot avotav. So the answer, mishum delo efshar. It's not a stage that allows itself. This is more technical. When the flesh is starting to disintegrate, first of all, it stinks, and no one's going to want to take the body out. It's disgusting to start taking the body out while the flesh is disintegrating. So we wait till it's totally disintegrated, but not for kapara purposes. You understand? So there's two approaches. Either we have to wait till it totally disintegrates because that's when the kapara is affected and then we can move it, or it's an earlier stage. You just can't actually move the bones at that point, but there is kapara at that point. And the reason we don't start avelut then is because it's kevanji yidachu, yidachu. Okay? Once it's already pushed off the avelut, it doesn't apply again. Kavri de Rav Havushakle Mine Afra Li Ishta Bat Yoma. Okay, this is a whole different thing. They took from the kever of Rav, they would take the dirt in order to heal people who had, I forget what Ishta is, remind me?
One day fever.
What?
A one day fever.
A one day fever? Okay, I saw some other disease for it. Anyway, it's a certain disease people had. Ishta Bat Yoma, right? Ishta, I guess you're saying they call it a fever, but okay, one day fever or some other disease. Atu Amrle the Shmuel. They told Shmuel that they were doing this, taking the afar, and he said, how can they take the afar? Isn't it a sur b'hana'ah? Because it was designated. Now we're going to talk about our things that are designated for burial, a sur b'hana'ah. So they say to Shmuel, Amar lehu ye'ot avdin. It's good what they're doing, because karka olam huva, karka olam eina ne'eseret. Things that are attached to the ground that relate to the kever are not asurim. How do we know this? Dichtiv vayashlech et afaral kever b'nei ha'am mekish kever b'nei ha'am lavodat kochavim. Okay, this is with the Asherah. They would burn the Asherah. If someone was worshiping Avodah Zarah, they would burn it, and they would throw the dust on the kever b'nei ha'am, on the people who were... This is what Yoshiyahu did. Sorry, Yoshiyahu did this, right? This is at the end of Melachim. Yoshiyahu took out the Asherah mibeit Hashem mechutz l'Yerushalayim al-Nachal Kidron. Vayishrof otah b'Nachal Kidron. He burned it. Vayadek l'afar. And then he throws it on the kever of the people. Okay, the ashes. So what do you see here? Makish kever b'nei ha'am l'avodat kochavim. Ma avodat kochavim b'mechubar lo mitasra t'chtiv asher atem yorshim otam et Elohim al haharim haramim. Just like avodat kochavim is not asur b'hana'ah, when we're talking about things that are attached to the ground, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, this is the pasuk in Dvarim, which talks about getting rid of all the places where they worship the avodah zarah. What do you have to get rid of? All the places that you inherit, right? Et Elohim al haharim haramim. What are they darshan with this? Where the people worship on the mountains, al haharim Elohim, velo haharim Elohim. It's not the mountains themselves, it's just whatever gods were on the mountains. So what do you learn from this? That the mountains themselves, where they worshipped Avodah Zarah, anything that was attached to the ground, you don't have to burn. So likewise, it's not a sur b'hana'ah. Likewise, when it comes to burying people, right, the burial spots, anything that's attached to the ground, hachanami b'mechubar lo mitzar. It's not a sur b'hana'ah. So the fact that they took from the dust, from the dirt of the ground, where Rav was buried to heal people, that was okay. Meitive, but now we have a koshia. Chotzev kever laviv, v'halachu kavro b'makom acher. If you dig a burial plot for your father, but then you don't bury him there, and then you bury him b'makom acher, hareze lo yikaver bo olamit. He can't use that burial plot for himself because it was designated already for someone else. It's asur b'hana. So what do they answer? Hacha b'mayaskinam b'kever binyan. Now that kind of kever they were talking about was something that was built with stones above the ground. That's again. If it was attached to the ground and he just dug a hole, he'd be allowed to bury himself there. It wouldn't be a sorbana. But since he built something above, so we're now going to bring a slew of sources, we'll go through them very quickly, where each time we're going to say, it sounds like here it says you can use some sort of thing that's attached to the ground for burial, and every time they're going to answer no, what they're referring to there was a kever binyan. We learned that they had different ways of burying people. Sometimes they would build something above ground, and sometimes they would build things, dig things into the ground. So every time we're going to see this source, we're going to say, oh no, it's a kever binyan, in which case it's not talking about anything mechubar lakarka. If it was mechubar lakarka, it wouldn't be a source. Kashma. Kever chadash mutar bahana. If you have a new plot, then it's mutar bahana that was never used for anything. Okay, but it wasn't designated for anyone in particular. But hitil bo nefel, once you stick even a body that wasn't right of a baby before it was even viable, it's a sur bahana. So again, what do you see? Even if you put a nefel in there, you didn't really use it for a real burial plot because a burial of a nefel wasn't really considered a real burial plot. Hachanami, you would have to say again, it's bekever binyan. Oh no, I guess they're trying, sorry. The kever chadash, they're saying. How could a kever chadash be mutar bahana'a? Because if, right, so now they're saying it's also bekever, no, 1 second. Mechubar, I'm getting confused for a minute. Mechubar is not asur bahana'a, right. The kever of the nefel, how could it be asur bahana'a? Because we said mechubar is not asur bahana'a, you could use it. And the answer is we're talking about a kever binyan. Tashma. Nimtza ta'omer shalosh kvarotin. There's three different types of kvarot you can find. Kever ha-nimtza, let's say you walk into your backyard and you find there was somebody walked into your plot when you weren't paying attention and they buried someone there. Kever ha-yadua, someone asked you, can I bury my dead person in your plot? Or kever ha-mazikat harabim, a kever that's in your property but it's a path also in the Rashut Harabim and people pass by there and it's going to cause people to become tameh. It's a public thoroughfare through your plot, through your house, your property. So now, what's the rules about all these things? Kever ha-nimtza, if you find it in your backyard and you didn't know, mutar lefanoto, you're allowed to remove it because someone basically, it's stealing. They stole your property. It's not even considered a real burial. Pinahu mikomo tahor. Once you remove it, the whole area where it's buried is tahor. Umutar bahana'a, and you can benefit from that spot. Kever hayadua, asur lefanoto, but if someone asks you to bury someone, you can't remove the body. Pinahu mikomo tame. If you did, the area where it was is tameh, the asur bahana'a. What do you see here? It's asur bahana'a even though it's the ground. That's going to be our question. Kever hamazik et harabim, but if it's in the way where the public thoroughfare is, mutar lefanoto, and impinau mekamo tahur. Okay, because we want to allow people not to become tameh all the time, so we say mekamo is tahur, if you moved it. The asur bahana'a. And, however, it's forbidden bahana'a. So again, what are they going to answer? Hachanami bekever binyan. Okay? It's also kever binyan. Okay, last part for today. Bekever hanimtza. Now they're asking a question on this braita. Kever hanimtza, mutar lefanoto. If someone buries someone in your backyard and you didn't know about it, you can remove it. Bedilma meit mitzvahu. Maybe it was a meit mitzvah that there was no one to bury and they buried them there. And then it's because it's a meit mitzvah kanamakomo. Wherever a meit mitzvah is buried, it acquires the spot, whether it's stolen property or not. So maybe, there's a sefek, maybe it's a meit mitzvah, so how can you possibly remove it? So what are the answer? Shanei meit mitzvah dekali. Like, everybody knows about a meit mitzvah. Okay, and therefore, it gets around when there's a meit mitzvah, so you know it was in your backyard, you wouldn't just stumble upon it. Okay, we'll continue on for one more minute. Itmar, oreg beged lemeit. There's another machloka Rav and Abaye here. If you make a beged for tachrichim, for a dead person, and then you didn't use it, so can you use it for something else? Abaye amar asur, you're not allowed to use it for anything else because it was designated. This is a very interesting machloka. Rav amar mutar. Abaye amar asur, because hazmana miltihi. Is it significant that I set something aside to be something? This comes up in halacha in all sorts of places. I'll give you a good example for Shabbat. Rocks. Rocks are muktzah. You can't use them because they're not designated for any reason. But if you designated before Shabbat and said, I'm going to use these rocks to hold my papers down from the wind so that they don't blow away, then those rocks have a purpose just because I set them aside for a particular purpose. Even if I wasn't using them for that, but I just set them aside. So he says, hazmana miltihi, and therefore, once you set it aside for the mate, it's already a sorbana. Rav Amar Mutar, Hazmana Lav Miltahi. Okay, Rav says no, Hazmana is not significant. And the machloket, you'll see tomorrow when you learn on your own, it's a machloket whether we learned it out from Egla Rufa or we learned it out from Avodah Kochavim. Okay, you'll see the machloket. They darshan the word Sham by Miriam. It said she was buried, she died there and she was buried there. The word Sham appears twice. And then they're going to connect it to the Sham by Egla Rufa and the Sham by Avodah Zarah. And depending on which one you learn it from, it will tell you whether, in the case of burial, is Hazmana significant or is it not significant.